One thing we hear on NPR that we hear almost nowhere else in quite the same way is the revealing sound of a voice.
A lot of things are moving in the right way.
Might be the Secretary of State or a person on the street.
How do you have to know this? You're a police officer.
But in this collection, we feature voices of a different sort. Primal and musical, full of mystery and meaning. Birds fascinate us. Why do they sing? What do they sing? Where do they live? What do they do when we're not around? You'll find some extraordinary stories here. Hummingbirds who return to say hello to their adopted human mother. Jealous lady ant birds and their resourceful mates. Yellow-throated warblers blown off course on the streets of Chicago. These stories tell us a lot about birds. And those of us who do the watching.
When a cascade of twigs, leaves, and rootlets appeared on the elbow of our downspout, I watched to see a little brown wren trying to make a great wad of nesting material stay on the slippery metal. I caught the bird's eye. "Wait right here. I'm going to help you." I ran to the garage, grabbed a little copper bucket, some wire, and a stepladder. I climbed the ladder, wired the bucket up under the eave, placed the nesting material in the little pail, and climbed down the ladder. The wren perched on the gutter just a few feet away, watching. Before I got the ladder folded, the wren appeared with a bill full of moss and put it in its new home. By nightfall, the nest was nearly complete. Since that day, 5 years ago, 30 or more baby Carolina wrens have been raised in the copper pail, and we've watched the fledglings flutter out time and time again.
Every summer, an invasion overwhelms the tiny island of St. Lazaria off the southwest coast of Alaska. Swarms of seabirds called storm petrels descend to breed. We're going to descend into the middle of this mass of birds with biologist Michael Anderson.
It's nighttime, and so the birds are coming in and flying all about, upwards of 500,000 birds that we're talking about. These birds are actually digging burrows in the soft, moist soil in the forested areas, and so they're coming in through the forest, landing on the ground, and going underneath the ground, tunneling into their burrows to lay an egg. This nocturnal shift is sort of the changing of the guard, where one bird comes back in and exchanges incubation duties while the other bird goes out to do some foraging. And they're making these vocalizations to help recognize one another individually in this sort of sea or mass of birds. There are two species here, and each gives a unique vocalization. The fork-tailed storm petrel has this one that just gives 3 to 5 grating notes, like a yep, 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 yep. And the leech's storm petrel is giving this more of a purring sound as they fly through the trees. Oftentimes they're crashing through the limbs of the trees, stumbling down to the ground, and then scurrying about, calling to their mate, trying to find their particular burrow. There are just so many of these birds that they can't help but flying into the microphone or the tripod, or even one time, bird flew right into my head.
F. Schuyler Matthews was a bird lover and a composer and an artist. He'd go out into the fields and woods around his home in Campden, New Hampshire, and write down the songs the birds were singing. He'd translate birdsong into musical notes. His field book of wild birds and their music was first published in 1904, the first major effort of its kind. 82 species, with his watercolor illustrations and the bird songs captured on the page. So the song of the whippoorwill in this modern recording, nature's virtuoso of the nocturne in Matthew's description, sounds like this on flute using his notation. Now the bobwhite. And on flute.
NPR's Robert Smith was impressed with the high-risk sport of birdwatching in winter. He witnessed it on an eco-cruise around New York Harbor.
If you think birdwatchers are wimps, then you try gripping a pair of binoculars on the deck of a boat on a windy, freezing day.
You are a brave bunch coming out here in February on New York Harbor on a water taxi, so you must all be bird watchers.
Or really desperate to see something, anything with feathers. The New York City Audubon Society has been commandeering the water taxis on Saturday mornings to cruise the shoreline for water birds. I ask our guide, Gabriel Willow, didn't the smart birds already fly south?
Of course, we are south for some birds. A lot of these birds nest above the Hudson Bay in the Arctic. So to them, this is a nice, warm wintering spot.
I'm glad somebody thinks it's warm. Birdwatcher Patrick Cousins doesn't seem to mind the Arctic air either. He says that birding can be as extreme as you want it to be.
You know, you could sit in your backyard and watch birds. You can go climb a mountain, or you can go down to the Andes, or you can come out in the harbor in freezing winter. And we have to go to them. I mean, we have to go to the birds.